What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 498. And across the screen and across the world from me is Ryan. What's going on?
I think you said like across the nation last time, and now it's across the world.
It's the whole world, you know what I mean?
Well, you can get us anywhere in the world. That's true.
Yeah, you know what's so funny? We started this podcast and I forgot to hit go live. I hit the intro, but I forgot to hit
go live. I was wondering because I was watching, it was like scheduled, and I was refreshing all the sites to make sure it starts, which I usually do every week.
Yeah.
I was like, What's going on? And then I saw it click over. I was like, huh.
Yeah.
Rusty.
Just like, we missed a week and we're just really, really rusty. We missed a week because you went to Chicago and
I went to like seven states in 9 days. It was a lot of driving. Let's just say that. Yeah, I went to Missouri, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Iowa. Yeah.
Dang, that's a big road trip.
Yeah, but saw a bunch of like places I hadn't seen. I saw St. Louis for the first time, had never been there, saw the Arch. Drove around Indianapolis, drove through like Fort Wayne, Indiana, Chicago, stayed for about 24 hours there, and yeah, had a good time.
Nice, nice. Well, while you were gone, I went to Comic-Con. And
I know, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about that. We have two reviews this week that we're going to be talking about. We also are going to talk about essentially everything is going up in price now, so it's going to be even harder to build a computer these days, which is really sad. Some new Keytron products. What else we have? Let me look at this notes here. What else we have? RX 9050 is coming out. New case from Asus and some Steam Machine stuff there as well. But this week's podcast is brought to you by our friends over at ADATA and their Urban Tap Safe portable SSD. And there's a bug in here. I feel like every time I podcast, there's always a bug.
Yeah.
But there's a bug here. But by their Urban Tap Safe portable SSD, we actually did a review on this past week. We did a full on video, which we'll talk about on this as well. But it's a cool little portable SSD that gives you peace of mind because you unlock it via NFC with your phone. So a lot of these portable SSDs that have some type of security feature, it's either a keypad, which takes up too much space, and then sometimes you forget whatever your code is, and it's just a pain, or you enter it in wrong, it's just a pain. Or you need software on whatever host machine that you're using to go ahead and unlock this, and some of those applications aren't like made for Mac or Linux or whatever. This, you just unlock with your phone. So all you have to do is unlock it with your phone. That means this can work on phone. This portable SSD can work on phones. It can work on Mac. It can work on Linux. It can work on PC, obviously. So it's a great little portable SSD. And like I said, check out our review and our YouTube video on this. But we want to thank ADATA for sponsoring this week's episode. And if you want more information on this drive, just go to thinkcomputers.org/urban-tap-safe to learn more. And it's for the way storage is right now, it's priced pretty good.
Portable, yeah.
It's priced pretty good for a portable SSD, and it's USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, so you're going to max out the USB there at 1900 megabytes a second, both read and write there. So definitely go ahead and check that drive out, and we'll jump into reviews this week. I took a look at a motherboard from ASRock, their B850 Challenger Wi-Fi White. And the thing that I really like that ASRock has done here is that when you buy a motherboard, like you're looking at the product stack from whatever company, whether it's ASRock, whether it's Asus, MSI, Gigabyte, you're like, I want the white motherboard. And you can only get the white motherboard. It's like one board that's white, right? It's like whatever it is. That's the white motherboard. Well, what ASRock has done is with their B850 Challenger, there's a black version and there's a white version. So it's nice that we're getting actual colorways to choose from for the same motherboard. Even though it's just black and white, I do like that idea. So you're like, oh, well, I really like this feature set, but they don't have it in a white. Well, now you can, at least with this B850 Challenger, you can get it in both a black and white version. So I really like that. Really sleek looking board too. Like It's very, very sleek, as you can see. All white design, white PCB, silver accents on this. Normal ATX size here. It is going to be B850. So it is not, you know, your full-on Ryzen feature set, but you are still going to get Gen 5 speeds on that this top M.2 SSD, as well as your graphics card slot. So for most people who want to save money, especially as we talk about later in the podcast, prices of everything going up, it is going to be a solid choice, especially if you're running your CPU at default settings, you're not doing any overclocking. It is going to be a very solid choice for that to save money and put that money towards, you know, especially these days, more memory and like a better graphics card or something like that. So when it comes to our power delivery, it's a 12+2+1 power phase design around our CPU socket here. And then as far as the rest of the feature set goes, it is pretty basic here. Of course, we have DDR5 support, up to DDR5 8000 memory in there, which is going to be more than enough for a board like this. The USB header is not Gen 2x2. It's USB 3.2 Gen 2. So that's something to note right there. So it's not a 2x2. And as we go off, there's only two M.2 slots on this board. Of course, that top is that Gen 5. And then you have this bottom one down here, which is only a Gen 4. So keep that in mind, only two M.2 slots. So as you can see, we have sort of a cut down feature set. This does feature Wi-Fi 7, which is great. But again, there's no USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 on the rear I/O either. And there's only one type C port. So those are things to note that you would probably get from a higher end board. But you do get a BIOS flashback button, which is nice. And a physical button for BIOS flashback, but clear CMOS, no clear CMOS button or anything like that. Also no dedicated power button on the board either. But overall, like I said, for this feature set, it's kind of giving you the modern connectivity as far as Wi-Fi 7 goes. But you're not going to get USB 4. You're not going to get USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 either, but you are getting faster Gen 5 storage for that top slot. And that does have the more heavy duty heatsink. All of this top heatsink is toolless. This one is not, but the actual M.2 installation for both of them is going to be completely toolless. So no little screws or anything like that. It's going to perform just like any B850 motherboard. No real issues. I would say if you are running something like an X3D processor and you plan to overclock, the VRM isn't going to necessarily be adequate for something like that. This isn't a board that you would run an X3D processor on if you are overclocking. If you're running it at stock, you should be fine. But I gave it an 8 out of 10. It's only $159.99, which is very cheap these days. And again, if you're doing a Ryzen build with a modest processor, Ryzen 5, Ryzen 7, even a Ryzen 9 that you're not necessarily going to overclock, this will be able to handle it. And again, if you're not doing something storage heavy, only two M.2 slots, and you're not like me and have a lot of fast portable SSDs where you want that Gen 2x2 connectivity or USB 4, this was a good choice and a good price point. And instead of paying like $350 for a motherboard, you pay $159. Take that extra money, and instead of getting like 16 gigs of RAM, maybe you can get 32 in this market. Not sure, but that's kind of what I thought. It also has their new 64 megabyte BIOS chip, which means that upcoming Ryzen CPUs will be supported. There's enough space on there, so you wouldn't lose compatibility and things like that. 2.5 gig LAN, which I didn't mention, but again, power delivery is a bit weak, no USB 4 or USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. And then the onboard audio is like the Realtek ALC8897, which is just kind of basic as well. If you are using onboard audio, if you're just using like a USB headset, it would have its own. So things to think about, but overall it is a a solid motherboard and one that looks really good too. Like, it's a good looking board if you were doing something like a white build as well. So if you guys have any questions, let me know, but check out that review. And then we'll move on to something that I wasn't necessarily excited to take a look at, because when it comes to gaming, and I'm sure you're like this as well, Ryan, we want headsets like we have right here. We want big, not necessarily big, but like we want a over-ear gaming headset. But over the past couple years, we've seen a handful of brands come out with gaming earbuds, and you're kind of like, are they actually gonna sound good? Like, are they gonna be any good? So I finally got a chance to check out a really nice pair of high-end gaming earbuds, and these are from Razer, and these are the Hammerhead V3 Hyperspeed. Hyperspeed denoting that these use a 2.4 gigahertz dongle, so you have essentially zero latency gaming. You don't want to hear footsteps too late when you're gaming, so you react too late. So you want zero latency. So that's what the Hyperspeed means in the V3, Hammerhead V3. So gaming earbuds, they do come in a nice charging case. We have a fast charging 60-watt USB cable. This is also a data cable, which is really nice. And it's super like nicely braided. And it actually has a 90-degree angle connection on one side. So when you connect these, say like from a laptop, the cable comes on, the cable comes straight down the side of the laptop. So if you are connecting on the side where you use your mouse, the cable actually doesn't get in the way of like your mouse area, which I really, really like. So you have that there, which is good. The earbuds themselves, they're not massive by any means. They are pretty small, but they do feature a 11 millimeter driver in there. And they're not like, you know, Razer, they're known for like, you know, RGB, like there's no RGB on these, which I really appreciate, especially for battery life too. Yep. There's just a simple Razer logo on the kind of end cap here and everything like that. These do feature active noise cancellation. And the charging case is really cool. So the charging case, of course, is going to charge these up, make it easy to charge up. It also stores the 2.4 gigahertz dongle. But the cool thing with this compared to other earbuds that I have and that I've seen is that there's a USB type C on the bottom of the charging. That's a pass through. So you can actually be charging the charging case with the dongle in, and you're still going to have connectivity to the earbuds, which is good. So no other earbuds that I've ever used works that way, where this is a pass through to the 2.4 gigahertz dongle. So you can be listening while your charging case is charging at the same time. So yeah, I really like that, which is great there as well. And you can see the Razer logo. Now, these are rated for 10 hours of battery life, and for earbuds with active noise cancellation, that is pretty standard unless they're like a really big earbud that has a big battery inside. My AirPod Pros 3s are like right around the same for active noise cancellation. And in terms of using these, they sound really good. I was actually really surprised at how good they sound. I did mostly a lot of PC gaming with these. So again, you just plug that dongle into your PC and you're good to go. The active noise cancellation is good. I wouldn't say it's as good as my AirPod Pro 3s. AirPod Pro 3s are like the best active noise cancellation I've ever experienced on any device. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And they're worth the money if you're ever considering earbuds. But these are a very close second. And they, like I said, there's multiple microphones that are canceling out the active, you know, canceling out noise. So you're immersed in your game. And that's what you want when it comes to any headphone or earbud, is you want to cancel out the outside world so you're immersed within your game. So they do that very well, and they sound really good. And the thing that they also have, just like most earbuds these days, is they have a transparency mode. But the Razer transparency mode, I prefer. I don't know if other people might not prefer it, but it actually very much so boosts the outside world. So a lot of the transparency modes in other earbuds just turn off the active noise cancellation, but this actually boosts the outside world. And I actually appreciate that, because so many times, like if you have earbuds in, a lot of times it's still kind of hard to hear people around you, especially if you're, my biggest thing is if I'm on a flight and like the flight attendant comes over and it's like, oh, do you want, you know, what type of drink do you want? Most of the time I always have to take the earbuds out, just because even with active noise cancellation off, it's just hard to hear them. But with the Razer transparency mode, it amplifies everything around you, and it does a really good job at it. So I prefer it. Some people might not. But that's one thing I actually really did enjoy about these earbuds. The microphones are okay. It's kind of what you would expect from an earbud with the stems. It's not necessarily amazing. It's not horrible. You'll be okay in your, you know, in your game, you know.
Yeah.
You'll be okay in your game. People will hear you, but it's not the same as a dedicated mic like I have here, or even a lot of overhead headphones with a dedicated mic. They do sound better. So keep that in mind, but I do feel like the gaming audio on these is really good. You can configure the gaming audio two ways. If you are using this with a PC, you have Razer Synapse and you have an equalizer. There are presets. You can also create your own preset for the equalizer. There's, you know, you can set your active noise cancellation on or off, auto pause. So if you're listening to music or something like that and you take an earbud out, auto pause, gestures, which is kind of cool that you can adjust the tap speed. So there are tap controls with the earbuds, but you can actually set when, you know, how fast you're tapping, which I kind of liked. Do not disturb mode, which is also pretty cool. So this will, so you can connect these via Bluetooth, and 2.4 gigahertz. So like if I'm on my computer, I can have them connected via 2.4 gigahertz to my computer, but at the same time, I can connect them to my phone. And if normal operation of these is if your phone rings, it switches over to the Bluetooth so you can answer the call.
Sure.
But you can turn on do not disturb, which means it won't do that. So if you do get a call, it's not going to switch over.
Got to stay locked in.
Yeah, got to stay locked in. And then you do have audio prompts as well. You can turn those on or off if you want. And you can set the microphone gain here and then power how fast these will turn off. And I do like that you have the option to choose how long after inactivity these actually do turn off. So I do like that as well. And then there is a mobile app. It doesn't have as much functionality as Synapse, but again, it gives you kind of a basic overview and you can do your noise cancellation. You can have the basically kind of set EQs, but you don't get as many options within the EQs as you do on Synapse on a PC. And then kind of like the other settings that we just went through, you have all those in the mobile app. So they are pretty, you know, you can essentially pretty much customize these whether you're on PC or on either an Android or iOS device. Pretty easy to go ahead and do that. Now these are priced at $129, which I don't feel is that horrible. Now if you're somebody who's like not playing fast-paced FPS and you just want a good earbud for like casual gaming, they do have a Hammerhead V3X, which is not the hyperspeed version, that you don't get the dongle, and those are $99. So if you want to save some money, I also gave these an 8 out of 10. Good 2.4 gigahertz connection. I didn't notice any latency or lag or anything like that. Good audio performance. Really, really good active noise cancellation performance. I really appreciated that. good battery for active noise cancellation, like real active noise cancellation earbuds. Up to 40 hours with the charging case is good. And then the seamless switching between Bluetooth and the dongle. And then the cons, it's you're not going to replace these overhead gaming headphones with an earbud. You're just not. The transparency mode, I enjoyed it, but some people may not like it, like amplifying what's around you. And then the microphone quality is just okay. So those are the, you know, those are kind of how I felt about it. I give it an 8 out of 10, like I said. In the chat, Voidy asked, are those the most recent prices? Yeah, that's the most recent price, $129, which I don't think is horrible for the quality of earbuds that you're getting and how they work. Like I said, my AirPod Pro 3s, I think, were $250.
And you know, you're gonna have a little bit of a Razer tax in there, kind of like the Asus tax. You've got a Razer tax, right? Some of their stuff just costs a little more, but if you're in that Razer ecosphere, kind of like, you know, we talk about with Corsair and other companies, right? And you got just Synapse to configure all your Razer components, it's very nice sometimes.
Voidy says he's been looking for earbuds because they want to avoid headset dents. Yeah, sometimes I feel like they're going to be like that guy in that video. We talked about this, Brian, with the guy with the headset dent. Yeah. No, they are good. We actually have two more pairs of earbuds that I have in that are gaming earbuds that we'll be reviewing over the next month. So stay tuned for those reviews. I think they are very viable for PC gaming, mobile gaming. And again, these are going to be multi-device, right? So they're not just going to work on your PC, PlayStation, consoles, Steam Deck, like anything, you know, anything that has that type C will work, you know, which is great. So these are a multi-device where sometimes like a gaming headset like this can be only PC only, especially if it's like USB. So sure. Definitely something to keep in mind there, but yeah. Definitely check out that review as well. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And of course, that's where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have our friend Stuart over at GGF. And this is his build that he did for Computex for G-Skill. And Ryan, you know me pretty well. What do you think my favorite part of this build is?
It doesn't have frosted it's got silver like matte finish tubing, so I was gonna say that at first.
Okay,
but I think you're probably gonna go with like that distro plate up front.
No,
I could be wrong. No,
no,
is it the white board?
No,
and all white.
I don't know, man. You knew me.
Well, I guess not.
You see these things.
Oh, all the channels.
Yeah, the channels for the cabling. I love the channels for the cabling. And I believe this distro plate is part of this case. This is the This is
the Elise.
Oh, maybe it's
the Alsi first class.
Yeah. So yeah. Oh, wait, this might be a different part. Maybe I didn't update it. No, I think I did. In any case,
did you get to see this in person?
I did not.
Oh man.
Surprisingly. I don't even think I went by G-Skill at Computex. I was too busy to see this. But yeah, Asus ROG, and then you have the red and the silver and the black. Everything goes together. Has that amazing white crosshair board, which I got to see. That's such an amazing board. And then all the channeling, which I love. Everything kind of goes together really, really well here too.
It's nice to see. I know they had some drama and some issues, but it's nice to see a build with some EK hardware, I think.
Yeah,
haven't seen that in a while, you know?
I believe, I don't know if I didn't update this. I think the case is an EK case. I could be wrong. But in any case, like, I love this.
It looks good. Yeah that shroud like, there.
The shroud that he did right here, which looks awesome. And again, I love the cabling that he's done too. All the cable work on this is just awesome. I really, really like that too. So, yeah, just
sweet.
Yeah, just a good one here by Stuart. So shout out to Stuart for this one. And as I always say, guys, we have a full section.
There was a good one last week when we didn't have the podcast. That's actually kind of very similar to this, I thought, in design.
Yeah, this one's cool. This one's by Dustin Say. And he actually built this custom. This is all made. He made this case himself, which I thought was super cool. And he also, these pictures aren't working. It's awesome. Okay. Let's see. Well, this, Well, for some reason, the pictures aren't working on this one, but he built this case, which just looks amazing. Cool. Custom channeling for not only the water cooling, but the cabling in this
as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he has a video that we have in the article. So if you want to check that out, definitely go ahead and do that too. But yeah, we always have a full Case Mod Friday section. So if you go to articles, Case Mod Friday, we have a ton here that we always say you can just like kind of scroll forever and just look at case mods as long as you want. So definitely go ahead and do that. And we'll move on to Comic-Con. So I went to Comic-Con for the first time.
Lucky.
Which Ryan was very jealous of, but we went there to go to a LAN party, which was fun. So there was a full on LAN party at Comic-Con, which was great. So got to see all of that. And it was cool. It wasn't a BYOC. It was, they had about 40 PCs set up. They were set up with like a lot of more sort of retro games and stuff like that. They were all powered by Intel Arc cards, which was really cool. Anybody who was there, who was at Comic-Con could come and play games, which was really cool. And it was packed all day. And then Be Quiet was in there. Zotek was in there as well. So we got to see some stuff from them, which was just so much fun. And we have a full video on it. If you want to check that out, you can do that. But then in another area of Comic-Con, AMD and Lenovo had sort of like a gaming lounge where they had a bunch of stuff set up. Like they had their Legion Go 2s, and they had their new 16-inch gaming laptop and some of their desktops. And then Alienware also had a section where they had their new Area 51, which I actually really liked because it's actually built like a real PC, not like some of their previous ones where it was non-upgradable. Everything in here is upgradable. It's nothing is proprietary as far as like the motherboard size and stuff like that. Also, there's like big 200 millimeter fans in the front. Like this is just really well designed. Got to play with their new 15 inch affordable gaming laptop. This one's right now.
You $899, right?
$899. That was a promo price when they launched it initially. You could probably find it for like $1,100 now. 165 hertz refresh rate on it. I think it's an i5, and it, but it. I mean, I was playing Overwatch on it. It was great. So got to see that as well. Got to see some stuff from Be Quiet and then Lenovo, their new gaming laptop, which was actually really nice, and things like that. And like I said, the LAN party was a lot of fun there too. And then I got to go on a game show, which was kind of interesting. So usually at like all of these events, like with brands, they're like, hey, we have this like thing. You're like, hey, check this thing out. Or we're doing this thing. And Alienware asked me, they're like, hey, do you want to like answer some questions? We're going to like record you. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, they're like, it's really cool. And I was like, okay. So I go into this like little room. It's like all dark, but there's like a chair. And there's like a little TV like up in the corner. And it's like, they're like, yeah, the questions are going to be up there. Right. And then I'm sitting in this chair. I'm waiting for the questions. I'm like, this is, and I like, they had some issues with whatever was going on. So they're like, I had to come back. So like, they're like, oh, it's not ready yet. I'm like, this is what I came back for. I was like, this is kind of, I feel like I was like
a room with a chair and a
screen. Yeah. I was just like, this is, and then, so they hit the button. And when they hit the button, I like the chair moves and I'm in a room with 30 people looking staring at me. And I'm on a live game show. And here's the video. You can see it on our Instagram. It's like this Alienware game show that they had set up. And it was like, yeah, it was just kind of surreal. It was kind of crazy. I did very well. It was kind of like, as they're trying to refresh this, it was kind of like, oh, that's weird. It was like video game kind of trivia. Yep. And I think I got 7 out of 8 questions right. So I did very well.
That was good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And so shout out to Alienware for that. So that was cool at Comic-Con. It was my first. Have you ever been to a Comic-Con?
I'm not that big, but yeah.
Yeah, so it was my first time at Comic-Con. It was pretty cool to walk through and see some of the stuff. Like, there were so many celebs in San Diego, I didn't see any.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, I think for the most part, they're not just out and about walking. They're like either at a panel, you know, doing interviews, or like they've got a signing event.
The thing that I never, because I never really went downtown for Comic-Con, but like there's all these pop-ups like everywhere. So that was really cool to see. And they like turned the one street where they're like the big like San Diego gas lamp sign, they turn it into like Avengers like world.
Oh, that's cool.
That was pretty cool. So it was pretty cool to see a lot of people. And for like Comic-Con, like, I don't know, I guess I'm just used to like other events, but like, I just feel like it was a place for people to just like buy things.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
For yeah. Sure. It was just like, there's and then like the lines and stuff like that. I don't think I would, I don't know.
Yeah. Lines are kind of crazy. Like, especially for like getting a celebrity autograph or something, like people just wait forever for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Not me.
Got to see the V1 tech booth. They had some pretty cool stuff, and there was some like the what is it, the Funko Pop booth. That was pretty cool. You could design your own custom one that was like Spider-Man, because I guess Spider-Man's coming out. You see some Star Wars stuff, which was cool. Yeah, but it was, like I said, a lot of people and a lot of walking, but it was fun. I would probably go again for like the PC stuff. I hope there's more PC related stuff at Comic-Cons kind of moving forward. That would be kind of cool, because I feel like those two things kind of overlap, right? Sure.
Yeah.
Those things, yeah, overlap. So hopefully we'll see more of that in the future. Then also, I did talk about it, but we do have a full on video of ADATA's Urban TapSafe portable SSD. It's the same one that we talked about earlier in the podcast, but we have a full-on video if you want to check it out on our YouTube channel. I go over everything, how to unlock the drive, the app, everything. So if you want to check that out, go ahead and do that. And we'll move on to news. And the big thing that we've just seen over and over and over and over and over and over again is that prices are going up on essentially everything. We have Old Man in the chat. Good to see you here. Glad you can catch the podcast this week. AMD is preparing at least a 10% GPU price hike for August for Radeon GPUs.
Damn.
You know, so we should see that here very soon.
Yeah, I think these price, like, I'm trying to think of like not an industry, but like a product silo that may not get hit with these. And it's like cases, peripherals, maybe.
Yeah,
right?
Cases, peripherals, possibly
coolers.
Well, like, maybe not coolers, and we'll talk about that why in a second.
Sure. Yeah.
A couple minutes probably. But yeah, it seems as if like everything's just getting more and more expensive. RTX 50 prices could jump another 30%.
Ugh.
You know, it's like, when does it end?
It's not for a long time. Well, and I
go ahead. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I don't think we have it on here, and I just saw it today. It was like a YouTube short or something. This lady was reviewing the Prophet that, who was it that had the Prophet? I don't remember. Oh, it wasn't related to memory or anything like that, but it's related to oil, right? And it's like kind of the same thing where it's like, oh, we're paying more for these products, yet you're seeing these like massive profits. We're seeing the same thing, you know, here. It's just across the globe. It's just, it's so sad. Yeah. We're just getting raked over the coals.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I mean, it all makes sense. It's like a supply and demand thing. And when it comes, and yeah, like, what product doesn't use storage or memory? None.
Yeah.
Like, there's no product that doesn't. So that's kind of, you know, and again, we'll talk about the products that don't, that might not get affected by this. So we have, you know, two of the major graphics card companies saying, hey, you know, prices are going to go up. And then just when you think it couldn't get worse, motherboard prices could go up in Q3 as well. And the biggest thing is PCB cost and copper. So yeah, copper could also affect CPU coolers.
Sure. Yeah.
So that wonderful Hyper 212 that's usually $25 could be like $40 now. You know, so like what won't be affected? Cases.
Yeah. What like else? Some peripherals, bands? Right? Keyboards, mice. Keyboards, yeah, a little bit of mice, copper in those, but not much.
Yeah. But you do have PCB in those.
You do.
Yeah, but I would say cases. Yeah, peripherals. Mouse pads.
Yeah. I almost said that. I was like, nah, that's too obvious. But yeah, it's,
yeah, it's getting to the point where it's like, you know, everything's just getting more expensive. I mean, are CPUs going to be affected?
Maybe, like when they start like shifting manufacturing to CPU to support a, you know, systems that'll run AI, you know, add-in cards and things like that, maybe, but I'm surprised we haven't. Or but it's also not like the GPU shortage or, you know, price hikes years back where they would just use anything to mine, right? They're not running AI workloads on a, you know, a 78 or what's the latest X3D, a 9800 X3D or something like that. Yeah. Right. So we don't have to worry about that necessarily, but they may shift production from making those to making more AMD, you know, Epic chips or something.
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, we saw that with Crucial, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, they're just, oh, we're done.
Yeah. We're done on the consumer side. So it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, and the thing is too, is as these prices go up and these companies don't want to take losses, that people already weren't building a computer because of the price of RAM, right? And everything that's associated with that. And then now your GPUs are more expensive. Now your motherboard's more expensive. So, you know, you're going to have these people that are kind of holding out to like, this all cools off, right? If it cools off. Yeah, Voidy in the chat said he's, you know, pretty sure AI companies have bought 70% of RAM manufactured, leaving 30% for the consumers. Yeah, and I already heard that all RAM capacity through 2027 is sold. So like all of the fabs, all of their capacity has been sold at least through 2027, and that they're even requiring companies now, if you're ordering, you know, DRAM or any type of memory from the, and even storage too, you need like a 5-year commitment with all that money up front to even building these things. Like that's what I've heard, and there's a lot of articles on that I've read as well. So it's just, it's like now, you know, like already with the RAM shortage, the cost of like a computer has gone up significantly. You know, say like that motherboard that we just reviewed, it's 159, like that same level of motherboard could be like 199, which makes it a really hard sell, you know, or like even a mid-range board is like, you know, like 250. Now that could be 350. And it's just going to get worse and worse, I feel. So it's going to be tough sledding for a lot of these companies. And again, this not only hurts you know, the companies that are selling the motherboards and the graphics cards as far as sales and stuff like that. But it's also really going to hurt the case manufacturers, the, you know, power supply manufacturers, because nobody's buying those things. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and
Old Man says, Samsung, Micron, DRAM shortage will persist through 2027. Yeah, it's just crazy.
And some of those case manufacturers shipped a bunch of stuff over ahead of tariffs going into effect so that they could get them over to the U.S. and not have to pay tariffs. Well, now they're stuck paying warehouse fees because nobody's buying stuff, and they got a bunch of inventory taking up warehouse space. So they're tried to avoid one problem and ran into another.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's tough sledding for the consumer. It's tough sledding for a lot of the companies as well, especially like the case manufacturers or like, you know, people not making CPU, GPU, and motherboard. So we'll see what happens over, you know, the rest of this year. It's going to be kind of interesting to see where prices go and see how prices fluctuate. We've already seen graphics cards go up quite a lot. But something that might help that a little bit, Chinese DRAM manufacturer CXMT looks to be building a second Beijing fab. But again, this isn't going to be online for at least 2-3 years. Yep. We have seen CXMT memory, or at least the ICs, the actual ICs, I believe in Lexar memory, also being used in Lenovo laptops. So there's no current ban on CXMT hardware like we saw with like Huawei and everything like that. So at least currently there's no ban. And I mean, China's smart to kind of get into, like, to have their own. And again, they're offering it from all in it for cheaper than the other manufacturer. So that's why like a Lenovo is using it. That's why a Lexar is using it. That's why you'll see more companies using it, because it's another avenue and it's, you know, but currently there's no ban on CXMT when it comes to their products being sold or being put in, you know, like a Lenovo laptop that's sold in the United States. So, hopefully that's some relief for some product segments for sure. Talk about new product segments. AMD put out an entry level Radeon RX 9050. So there's two versions, 4 gig and 8 gig. The 4 gig is going to be OEM only. The 8 gig you'll be able to buy. It's going to have 1,024 stream processors across 16 compute units, GDDR6, 450-watt power supply, and all the companies who make AMD cards have come out with them. Any thoughts on this?
Not really, other than, I mean, you got to come out with something, right? You got to keep selling cards to continue.
And as prices get more expensive, you want your entry card to keep on getting lower, right?
Yep. Well, and you know, you can give some of your additional features that your older hardware doesn't offer to current, you know, someone that may have that older hardware but wants to take advantage of some of the new hardware features, but not maybe a top end card. And you can sell them one of these or throw one into an OEM. Like you said, the 4 gig's going to be available for.
Yeah, a new 4 gig VRAM card in
2026.
It is OEM only, and it makes sense, like, you know, for that pre-built to have like the cheapest graphics card possible that can probably do like 1080p gaming at medium settings, you know, to get that holiday season $799 desktop, right? Like, you need to kind of have some, save some money that way. Yeah, not excited for these at all. No. So we'll see if we see anything from Nvidia, but that's what AMD is doing. Keytron released two new products, one that I really think you'd be interested in, Ryan. So they have a new K1 TKL low profile keyboard. So I reviewed the K1, which is an excellent keyboard. I have the white version, which this looks awesome with the wood accents on the side. But this is a low profile, so it has the low profile switches and low profile keycaps. I know you love low profile.
I do.
This
looks good.
Nice. This thing's really nice. Keychron, one of the best when it comes to pre-built keyboards. This is also full 8,000 hertz polling rate. It's only $109.99.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
And what is it, a 75%? Or it's a TKL, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a TKL, yeah. And again, tri-mode connectivity on this. Nice. And it has the real wood accents on it. I really like this.
Yeah. Get one in, take a look at it.
Yeah, so they had that. Voidy in the chat says, honestly, if the price is decent enough, I'll still consider buying it. I'm still rocking a second gen i5. Are you talking about the 9050?
I think so.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, when it comes to stuff, you kind of have to find your price point and kind of what you want. You know what I mean? And what you want to spend, sadly. So yeah, we'll try to find, we should do like a
budget build.
Yeah. Like a budget build right now. That would be
kind of budget build's tough right now though.
It's real tough, but you could
you gotta have a higher budget than usual.
You could do two budget builds. You could do like a used budget build where you like buy everything like on, you know, Facebook Marketplace or something. And then you could do a brand new, we're buying everything brand new, but it's going to be budget and like see the difference. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Keychron put out the Nape Pro. It's a trackball macro pad and control dial, and it's meant to sit like below your keyboard, kind of like this. What do you think about this thing?
I mean, it's going to have a use for somebody. I don't think I'm the right user. I'm not a big trackball.
Yeah, I've never been
user at all.
The closest I was like the ThinkPad.
The nub.
Yeah, the little nub.
Nope, not for me.
Yeah, this thing is. Yeah, you're right. Like all these things have. I do like the white one though. That does look nice. Yeah, for somebody who's using this or like macros or like if you're like this would be good for like scrolling a timeline, if you could set it up that way. If you're like an editor or like scrubbing through footage or something like that.
I mean, I guess like, yeah, if you orient it, I'm just like kind of holding my hands where this thing would be. And I can see me like using my, like if you, right there, it's vertical, but horizontally, well, even vertically. I don't know.
Maybe. I can see myself going like this. So like I'm sitting here and like, I guess my mouse is here, right? And then I would just like, you know, go like this. And then I would be like scrubbing through a timeline maybe.
Right.
I could see myself doing that.
Is that a dial too on it? Maybe it's not.
No, I don't believe so. This part?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. That would be cool if it was like a spring loaded dial. Or if it was, even if it was free spinning so that you could scrub that way too.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. Bluetooth 2.4 gigahertz on this. It is $89.99. White and black version. Pretty cool. I like different products. I think it's actually pretty cool. So shout out to Keychron for those two new products. Be Quiet finally released their Lightloop IO LCD liquid CPU coolers. Saw these initially at CES and then again at Computex. This is their first liquid cooled product that has a display in it. It's a circular display. We should have some of these into review here pretty soon. So definitely stay tuned for that. We covered these at CES and at Computex. But yeah, those are now available. Yeah. So have those. And Asus came out with a new case. This is their Prime AP304, a very, I feel like Asus is kind of like underrated when it comes to their cases a lot of the time.
You just like, I don't ever see them anywhere other than.
Yeah, that's the, yeah, maybe Micro Center.
That's true.
But this uses a single piece of tempered glass, white and black version. I like this little accent piece.
Throw here it up on the screen.
Oh, hey, we should do that.
You should.
Yeah, this little accent piece right here that separates the top and bottom. I really like that. And I assume that helps with airflow too. It looks like it.
Yeah, I presume it's an intake of some sort.
But I really like that. And then the white version looks great too.
Yeah.
So supports 420 millimeter long graphics cards, 360 millimeter radiators. Yeah, look, a really solid looking mid tower. Here's the, like, that looks good.
Looks good. Yep.
Yeah.
Like the glow that you can get there too, the lighting glow.
Yeah.
In that cutout. Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to come with these. It would be great if it came with four fans, three in the side, one in the back. Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah. Very solid looking case there from Asus. And then some Steam Machine stuff. So Valve officially released the CAD files for the Steam Machine. So if you wanted to create your own stand or accessory or whatever, you now have the official CAD files, which is good. They also updated FSR to 4.1 on the Steam Machine as well to get better performance there. But yeah, it's cool to see them actually release like the official CAD files so you can design kind of whatever you want for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put in a little bigger case or mod the hell out of it. Yeah.
Or make some accessory or 3D print some accessory or some stand that puts it at a different angle or whatever. You have now have the, like I said, you have all that, which I think is really cool. And then Dbrand finally released their skins for the Steam Machine. I think some of them are super cool. As you know, what we talked about, they got in that legal dispute with Valve over their one skin that they had proposed, so they can't sell that one, but they have 51.
That's a lot.
Steam Machine skins, and they have matching skins for the Steam controller as well, like you see here.
I think these look
and some good. Of these are some of these are pretty
cool. I like that one a lot.
Yeah
the cool. X-ray one.
We can like go to I have all of them, but there's some of them that are pretty cool.
Glow in the dark.
Yeah, so some of these are like glow in the dark. And then like, you know, some of these are pretty cool. And then you have
old man says it needs better airflow though, because it's throttling itself. Yeah, I think we talked about that too last podcast, maybe
one more. Yeah, I believe we talked about it last podcast.
Yeah.
Which one of these would you get?
Get that figured out. I like the retro box. I do like that box too. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, the retro box.
Because I think that retro one looks good with the retro controller that they did. I'm a sucker for glow in the dark though, too. So I don't know. A lot of these are cool.
Yeah. So you can get like the essential kit, which is just the front plate, and you get the deluxe kit, which is like the whole thing, and then you get the everything kit.
Which of the controller too?
Which controller? So the everything is $49.95, the deluxe is $39, and the essential is $19.95. I think I would get, you know what's kind of crazy? I kind of do like that is kind of cool.
Yeah. I guess it depends where you're gonna put it too, right?
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
I kind of do like this one though.
I like the X-ray one as well.
Yeah, the X-ray one's super. There's two X-ray ones. There's a dark and a light one.
Oh, okay.
That is pretty cool.
Giving away their secrets of how it's built on the inside. I know. If that's really how it looks.
Yeah. I'd probably get this first one, probably. Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And then you have the basic colors as well. So, or like this is like so ugly.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so ugly. But yeah, bunch of skins from Dbrand. If you want to kind of skin out your Steam Machine, you can go ahead and do that. And that is news for the week. As far as what we have coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at two products. So first, I have the Antec Flux Pro Noctua Edition. So this is a collab between Noctua and Antec for their Flux Pro case. Comes with six Noctua fans, Noctua fan controller, and they changed the colors for the case a little bit to make it more Noctua-like. So I just did the build today. So stay tuned for that review. And then I'll also be taking a look at an AIO. This will be my first AIO review in a long time. So I'll be taking a look at MSI's MPG Core Liquid P22360, which I have the white version, which is right here. So this is sort of like a... they made it less expensive, which I think is nice. So you reviewed the
P13,
which had the IPS display and more of like the rounded top on the display here. This has an LCD display and it's flat. And they changed up a few different things to make it less expensive. So it's only supposed to be $129, I believe.
Oh, that's pretty good with
LCD, for a display. Yeah, for a display based cooler. So I'll be taking a look at that. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. And we were talking about it earlier, but the question of the week is, are prices for hardware just going to continue going up, or are we going to get any relief? Like, what do you think is going to happen over the next year?
I don't know. Like, I was listening to another podcast. They were kind of talking about the same thing, how there's kind of like some circular like funding going on, I guess. Funding isn't the right word, but it's like NVIDIA sells OpenAI these chips, and then, NVIDIA invests in OpenAI, and then OpenAI buys the chips from NVIDIA. And it's just like this circular, like, fake, OpenAI hasn't ever made any money and they've lost all this money. They just are a cost that is just massive. And so I don't know. I don't know what the fallout would be if everything would just like came to light that it's like, it's all a sham and like there's no real use case. And, the fallout from that, I think, would be pretty extreme. But at the same time, it's like affecting so many other things, and it feels so greedy from an outsider looking in. Mm-hmm. I know we all got to make a profit every year and increase profits, but at some point, it's like it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
So I think we're just gonna keep seeing prices go up for a while.
Yeah, I think we're gonna see these next GPU launches are gonna be really interesting, like the new series of GPUs and what those initial price points are going to be. I think you're going to see an increase. I think you're going to see motherboards go up in price. I think you're going to see a lot of things go up in price as more and more companies who make these products their consumer, their consumer is here, and then the AI is here, so there's a lot more money in here, and they're not going to care as much about the consumer.
I'm also curious about Samsung just released some new phones a couple weeks ago. I don't really pay attention to phone news and like pricing, but I think we're gonna have another an iPhone launch at some point coming up, right? So how is that pricing gonna look for this next generation that's having to compete in this type of market?
Yeah,
that could be interesting.
Yeah, especially if you're somebody like me who buys like the highest capacity phone I use it as a recording device to record content with a lot. So yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting over the next year. And I think prices will continue to go up. I think we're doing like the gradual, it's going to go up, and then you're going to get used to it. Then we're going to go up a little bit.
Go up again. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's where we're headed as far as, that's kind of where we're headed. I feel like things are still going to go up. And I think if anything, other parts will at least seem cheaper when it comes to cases, maybe power supplies, some other things. Peripherals and things like that, but it's going to be tough sledding for I think a lot of people who want to build a computer.
Yeah.
and just like it happened during the chip shortage, you know, the AIO or not the AIO, the pre-built route might be the route to go for a lot of people, just for the cost savings that they might be able to kind of figure out, you know? But yeah, I think it's kind of where we're at. Yeah. Anything else tech related? You want to talk to anything cool that you saw or that you got? Or?
No, I haven't spent a ton of time with this new laptop yet. I used a little bit on my trip. I brought my nicer camera and took some pictures, and they look really great on that screen because it's a 3K high color accuracy screen. So I was like, oh, these look pretty good. But past that, yeah. No, I haven't really done a whole lot tech wise last week.
Yeah, I've just been working on reviews, trying to get stuff done. I planned a redesign of this office. But I'm not sure. I won't have time to do it probably till September. So because I have a lot of content to get done.
A lot lined up, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. But it'll be cool if we're able to do that and maybe work on some other stuff as well. So. Sweet. So yeah, no gaming tonight. Ryan and I were talking about if we're ever going to game again, but
one of these days.
Yeah, no gaming tonight. But we do appreciate everybody who came out during the live stream. Old Man and of course Voidy in the live chat, and of course everybody that listens later. And we will see everybody next week.